Bill Buckley here, and more to the point, Fevzi Turkalp here. He is, of course, the Gadget Detective. You can follow him on Twitter. He's at Gadget Detective. He's always updating us on the new gadgets and the general world of tech. Always a pleasure to have you on the show. Welcome back, Fevzi.
Thank you so much. Good afternoon.
It is now. You're right. I thought I was going to say not yet, but you're right. How time flies when you're having fun being on the radio. Gadget of the week this week is a projector.
Yes, but it's different from normal projectors. So normal projectors are big, hefty, noisy things that have to be plugged in. This is from Anker, who are probably best known for things like rechargeable battery packs that we take with us and cables and things like that. But they have a brand called Nebula, which is a range of portable projectors. This one's called the Nebula Solar. That doesn't mean it's solar powered as I first thought it might be, but I think it's an indication that it's very bright because these portable projectors often fall down because they're not bright enough to use during normal lighting. You have to watch them in a sort of dark room, but this one, it's bright enough to watch during daylight, although every projector looks better in dimmed light. It supports a resolution called 1080p, which is also known as full high definition. And this is one of the things you have to be careful of when you choose a projector. A lot of manufacturers are making claims, for example, for 4K, but they're not truly 4K. What happens is that they'll take a 4K signal and then they'll scrunch it up and fit it onto a lesser picture. So this is true 1080p projector. It's portable, so it has a built-in battery which recharges, just like you can recharge your tablet or your smartphone. You can recharge this. The internal battery will give you 3 hours of battery life, which is enough for pretty much any feature film, I think. Or you can plug it into the mains, or if you've got one of those power banks that I was mentioning to you that Anker and other people sell, you can actually run it off a power bank externally, so you could actually take a sort of additional battery pack with you and have even more time. It will recharge from dead up to full in about 2 hours anyway, or you can run it off the mains indefinitely. So it's got the speakers built in, and they're decent speakers, considering the size of the unit. To imagine the size and shape, think of an Apple Mac Mini computer. So it's about roughly about 5 inches square and about an inch and a bit tall. Mm-hmm. So it will fit in your bag. And it's bright. So for those that know about these sorts of things, it's called 400 lumens, which is, as I say, bright enough. It's got Dolby Digital Audio in it. But another nice trick it's got is if you've got Bluetooth speakers, you can actually link to the Bluetooth speakers, and therefore you could have like a much more immersive sound by having external speakers on the unit as well. The other unusual thing about it is with a projector, normally you have to plug something into it, right, a source of video. This thing has got Android TV built into it, which is Android TV version 9, which is essentially the same operating system as in any non-Apple smartphone. And this means you get access to the Google Play Store, which means that you've got a choice of about 5,000 apps. So just like you download apps onto a smartphone or tablet, you can download apps onto this. So you can download the YouTube app, the Netflix app, Amazon Prime Video, Hulu, all of these sorts of apps. So if you've got access to Wi-Fi, you can just stream directly into it. You don't have to connect a source. However, if you want to connect a source, you can view video in other ways. You can get a memory stick up to 2 terabytes, which is huge. Put all your high definition movies on that and just plug it in and have your whole library with you. And finally, you can stream off a smartphone or tablet. So let's say you've got a video stored on your tablet, or your tablet's connecting via Wi-Fi or cellular, and then you just what's called cast it. You cast the image from the smartphone or tablet to the projector, which then puts up on the wall. And just to give you an idea, this at about 3 meter distance from the screen or the wall, or you can project up onto a ceiling. At 3 meters, you get an image of about 120 inches. In diameter.
120 inches. Right, okay.
Huge.
It's pretty huge, yeah. But of course, tellies are pretty huge these days as well, aren't they? Do I need both?
I think this is... I've got one of these devices, not this exact one, but another one from the Anker range. I like to project, when I'm lying in bed, I like to project it onto the ceiling and watch movies.
Are you serious?
Because I get crook neck trying to watch a TV screen. But wow. Actually, if I lie
on
my back,
it's an insight into your
up,
life after all these years of knowing you that I didn't see coming.
I know. Well, you know, I had the mirrors removed and put that up instead. it's quite a remarkable device, and the flexibility of having Android built into it, having the ability to plug in a USB stick with your movies on it, having USB ports, so you could put something like an Amazon Fire Stick into that and do it that way. Mm. So you've got all this flexibility combined with a good basic, the underlying technology is sound. The 1080p display and the brightness is great. Now, these devices are never cheap. By the way, if you load, because it's got Google Play Store, if you load something like an Office app into it, you know, so you could put PowerPoint on it. You could actually load up PowerPoint.
Yes, when you first said projectors, I was thinking of the workplace and I was thinking of a colleague saying, so these are the points that we need to bear in mind. And who wants to talk about that? John?
You can do that because you can load an Office app onto that. So you could have like the equivalent of Word or PowerPoint or whatever. And then you could have the documents that you want to display on a little memory stick, plug it in, and you'll be able to display it. And it comes with a remote control, so you're all good. Now, in terms of price, these devices are never cheap, certainly not this specification. List price for this device is £599. Mm-hmm. I checked it out on Amazon. They've got a £70 voucher till tomorrow, which brings it to £529.99. But then I checked Anker's own website, which is uk.cnebula.com, SEENebula.com. And I see that at the moment they're selling it for £459.99, which is the best price I could find. And at that price, I've given it 4 stars out of 5 for the picture quality, the flexibility, the portability because of the battery, and the fact that you can link it to external Bluetooth speakers, which I really like, or a Bluetooth headset. So if you don't want to disturb people, you know, let's say...
Do you think they could even replace television, these things, then? Because if we could do away with this big piece of kit sticking on the sideboard to look at, it would probably be a good thing.
You could do. I mean, I think this would be a replacement for some televisions. I don't think a projected image is never as good, in my opinion, as the best. You know, if you've got an OLED television set, which costs you a fortune, it's not going to be as good as that.
No,
it's not always convenient to project onto a wall or a
ceiling. Got to have a white blank wall. You couldn't have a busy wallpaper or textured wallpaper or anything.
I think this is good. This is good for kids' room as a second screen. I think it's good for home cinema. I think it's good for barbecues in the garden or watching sports in the garden or something like that. Your neighbours will love you, although, as I say, you can plug in headphones or have wireless headphones. I think it has benefits of portability and large screen. I don't think it's a match for the best television set, but that's not, projectors have never been for that. They have all sorts of other benefits. But a 100-inch television set, now, how many people have got that in their home anyway, and what would that cost you? It would certainly cost you more than £460.
Well, we look back one day and laugh at the fact we once had a conversation that we thought a mere 100 inches was ambitious.
I'll tell you what I predict for the future. Our wallpaper will effectively be all of the walls of our rooms will be screens, and you'll be able to define what appears on that screen. So you can choose a wallpaper. You can say, I'd quite like a clock there. I'd like a window there. And I'd like to see Niagara Falls through the window in such a resolution that I can't tell I'm not actually looking through a real window. And you can have multiple screens and computers and stuff. And this idea of screens all over the place will be redundant. And maybe we'll have a little bit of holographic projection just to make it complete.
No, you're hurting my head now, as you sometimes tend to do, Fevzi. Fevzi Turkalp, the gadget detective, is with us. On to the tech news of the week and road safety to the fore then, Fevzi.
Yeah, so self-driving cars are the future, and Tesla has been producing cars that have a degree of autonomous operation. And not all self-driving cars are the same. You know, there's different gradations all the way up to fully autonomous. And there's been some controversy over Tesla's vehicles because it has a feature which it calls autopilot. And I actually got embroiled in a row. I'm really not a very rowing person about this, but I got embroiled in a heated discussion on Twitter, would you believe, with someone who said that, well, you know, calling it autopilot was misleading because it implies that, you know, you can leave the vehicle to do all the driving. Yeah. But actually, if you think about what autopilot actually is in an airplane, which is where the term comes from, you don't expect your pilot to leave the cockpit because of the plane's on autopilot. Autopilot is designed as an assistive technology. But I concede that some people don't think of it that way. And what Tesla has now done.
The thing is, it's become a figure of speech, hasn't it? When we say, oh, he's gone on autopilot again. You know, that's the problem.
Yeah, that's right. But actually, the way that Tesla's autopilot is meant to be used is that the driver is meant to remain in the driver's seat and attentive. And there have been reports, and I'm not going to go into detail about how this was done, but there have been reports of vehicles getting into trouble and being involved in accidents where it was reportedly found that the driver wasn't even in the driver vehicle, which shouldn't be possible. I don't want to speculate further on how that can be done, but allegation.
There was nobody in the vehicle then, or somebody else was?
No, there was somebody in the passenger seat.
But nobody in the driver's seat, right?
Yeah. And in fact, I think I'm right in saying that a man was banned from driving on the M1. He was doing 40 miles an hour on the M1, and he was apparently in the front passenger seat not in the driver's seat. So that shouldn't be possible. As I say, it's designed to be an assistive technology, but it probably doesn't help that it's marketed as autopilot. So maybe a new
different
name.
Different name would be better,
So what's happened now is that Tesla have updated the software. There's a little camera built into the just above the rearview mirror in most Tesla cars. And they've updated the software to not only make sure that the driver is present in the driver's seat, but is attentive. And this is not the first time. There are other, you know, technologies. There's been ones where they try and make sure your hands are on the steering wheel. But attentiveness is important because if someone starts to fall asleep or starts fiddling with a smartphone, for example, and isn't looking at the road, a camera with the right software can work out where the driver is looking. And if they are looking downwards and not out of the windscreen, there are cars that actually bring the car slowly and safely to a halt. So, and I think, you know, that might be a feature that all cars could have. So when a driver who's driving the vehicle starts fiddling with their smartphone,
summary justice, wouldn't it?
I'd personally go for electric shocks, but apparently that's not legal. so just pulling the vehicle over to one's, well, you know, that would make them attentive, wouldn't it? Just a mild shock, just enough that, you know, apparently the law doesn't allow that. But if it were to just guide the vehicle gently, park it safely to one side, that would be good, wouldn't it? I mean, the person would have to stop fiddling with their phone.
So we're never going to get to this, because I thought the dream was really that you just get in your car and you sit there and you read the paper or you have a nap, and then a voice says, you might want to wake up now. We're 2 minutes from your auntie's house.
Oh, no, we're absolutely going to get there.
Oh, right.
No, this is just, as I say, there's stages onto being a vehicle be fully autonomous. I mean, you know, it's as much to do with the legal framework and our mindset for this technology to come. Okay, the technology has to come a bit further, but it's a long way along the line to being fully autonomous. But there are issues like, for example, if there is a crash when a fully autonomous vehicle crashes a vehicle, who is responsible? If that car is responsible, is it the owner? Is it the driver? Is it the person who happened to be sitting in the passenger seat? Is it the software developer who made certain choices about how the vehicle should behave under certain circumstances? There are all sorts of ethical issues. And if a vehicle gets into a situation where a crash is inevitable, what choices should it make about who it hits?
Yes.
You know, because there's this ethical conundrum. Let's say there are three people in the road who've stepped out without looking. And the only way of avoiding hitting them is to go up onto the road and hit a single person who otherwise would be safe. Yeah. Even as a human driver, what is the ethical thing to do? But it gets more complicated because that computer system may be able to do face recognition, may be able to recognize who those people are, and could make value judgments. For example, the person on the pavement is we know now is 98 years old, mm-hmm. whereas in the road is a young mother who's, you know, or mm-hmm. is a scientist, and the one on the road has got a criminal record as long as your arm. What are the right, because as humans we can't make that judgment. The most we could do is in the split second say, okay, we'll veer off and hit one person instead of three, right? But if the computer's able to make a value judgment about who those individuals are, maybe that person's got terminal cancer, should we hit them?
As we so often say, we're forever running to keep up with technology. Fevzi, so interesting as ever. Fevzi Türkalp is your gadget detective. Follow him on Twitter, and he'll be with us again in 7 days' time.